All right, pay careful attention. Stay with me the entire program, because this is a message for every single person watching me right now. Did you hear what I said? Every person. It's personal, it's practical, and you need to hear it. You were born to live at this time in history. And I want to say it again. You were born to live at this time in history. You know, when we go to the book of Esther and we read where Haman conspired against the Jews to kill them in 127 provinces, and we see how God knew that was coming, and he allowed the queen to disrespect the king, and he removed her as queen, and then he had a beauty contest and brought girls in from all these 127 provinces, and an orphan girl named Esther, Hadassah, won the beauty contest. And there was a reason that God allowed a biological Jewish girl to become the queen and the wife of the king of the area of the Persian Empire, where there's 127 provinces, they called them, and we call them counties today, provinces that he ruled over. When Haman was about to conspire to have the Jews killed, and he built 10 gallows, and he was going after Esther's husband, uncle Mordecai. Mordecai came to her and he said, Esther 4:14, I want to put this verse up on the screen. If you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. Now he was saying is, God's going to deal with this one way or the other, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have been come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this. I'm going to tell you a personal story that I don't talk about much in just a few moments. But I don't know if you've ever asked yourself, or you said to yourself, wow, I wish I could have been born at another time, at another place, or in a previous age. It would be so different living at that time. All right, let's look at some examples. Let's say you'd been living at the time of Adam. Guess what would have happened? You'd have been expelled from the garden. The garden was cursed. You were working with primitive tools by the sweat of your brow. And all that walk with God was completely disrupted. So I don't think I want to live in the time of Adam. What about the time of Noah? Well, that'd been pretty cool living in Noah's day. Really? There were giants in the earth. The earth was covered with violence. There were scoffers. No one is paying attention. The whole earth had corrupted itself. So no, I do not want to live in the time of Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and 7 and 8. Well, the time of Abraham, let's go to the time of Abraham. What a time to live. Really? Well, first of all, when Abraham was about to come into the promised land, there's a famine, takes him down to Egypt. Isaac had a famine. Jacob had all sorts of problems. They had a war with five kings. There was the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Need I go on? Now, remember, I'll get to this in a moment, but what about living in the time of the early revivals? You know, I'm a student of what's called the healing revival era. That's the time my father came out of. And so I hear these stories of the big tents and the large crowds and the miracles when everybody wanted to come to church. Well, that sounds great, but here's the thing. You'd have had to sit in wooden benches or a metal folding chair. Sometimes you'd have had to come, I'm talking about the early days, by a horse and a wagon. You had to have church in a tent. There was no air conditioning. It got cold in the winter. It was extremely hot in the summer. There were a few restaurants, but there were no brand name restaurants hardly back in that day. You had to bring your own water and your own food and pack it when you were going to an outdoor meeting. You really want to live back in that day. They asked Oral Roberts one time. A friend of mine told me this story. They asked Oral Roberts, Brother Roberts, why did you leave tents? And he said, air conditioning. And so, that's a very smart man. He left the tents with all that eating. You know, tents are great, by the way. I love preaching in them. Don't get me wrong. I love a tent meeting. I'm probably going to have some in the future in different places. So, let me talk about another time frame. My great-grandfather, we call him great-granddad. He was actually loosely connected to us. But my grandmother came from Italy. She was a Laprise. So if you're Italian and you're a Laprise, you're probably biologically related to us somewhere down the road. Or if you're a Bava or a Beva, we're related. That's my granddad's name. And his dad was Italian. But watch this. My grandmother, her daddy came here and then left her here, went back to Italy, never came back. So R.L. Rexroad was a early pioneer preacher. And I want to quote to you, I have a little booklet that he put out, so wonderful to look at this. And I knew him as a child. His wife would bake bread and put it in the window and you could smell that baked bread. Oh, what? Now, those were the days, by the way, of fresh bread. So I'm going to quote to you what he said. He would preach revivals during the Depression. He said, we had to suffer so much. In one revival, our provisions were cut off from us. So in other words, he had no food during the entire revival. And here's another statement. This was in the wintertime, and on account of my car being broke, we could not leave or get away from the meeting. Here's another quote. One day we had a small dish of gravy made from milk of cows that had eaten wild onions. Only the old timers will know what that means. You guys that are old timers that were raised on farms, you understand when the cows got into the wild onions, the milk is just not, I can't even imagine gravy that way. All right. The gravy was divided between six of us. The next day we had nothing at all to eat, yet the presence of the Lord was with us. Now, this is a relative of mine that goes back, three generations ago. And I want to tell you what it was like. So I'm getting to, you're coming to the earth for such a time as this, but pay attention to other previous generations, what they had to deal with. He wrote about another difficult time when he said this. More than one time I've said to my wife, we had better give up preaching for a while, when her feet would be on the ground and our clothes in such shape as not even fit to appear in public. With tears in her eyes, she would say, Bob, let's try it a while longer. He said, I remember one time distinctly when her toes were sticking out of her shoes and I had half of my soles of my shoes were inner tubes. In other words, they had to repair their shoes that way. He concluded the pamphlet by saying this, as of this writing, November 15th, 1934, I'm 273 miles from home and I've just received a letter from my wife telling me that she and the babies are in need and I'm doing all that I can. Please listen to me. A lot of you look at yourself and you say, I could have had it better with a different family. I could have had it better in a different time frame. Maybe I was born at the wrong time. The Apostle Paul, believe this or not, talked about, was he born at the wrong time? Now, Paul was a Pharisee trained under the head rabbi Gamaliel, and he was going to be, according to the Encyclopedia Judaica, a Jewish encyclopedia, the next head rabbi in Jerusalem had he not converted to Christianity. Once he got to the point where he was persecuting believers, he consented to the death of Stephen being stoned, and he had papers to persecute Christians with their names on the paper and was headed to Damascus to expose them when the great light of Christ shone on him and he became converted. He became an apostle because he saw Christ literally, and yet he was not considered one of the 12. Why is that? Because if you go back to the time of the book of Acts, when Judas died by hanging himself, the disciples, 11 disciples and the elders, replaced Judas with another disciple. But notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 7. He said that he was seen of Peter and of the 12 disciples, and 500 people at once saw Jesus ascend, and he was seen last of all of him. Here's what he wrote. And last of all, he, Christ, was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles and not even meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Now, what does it mean out of due time? It means a miscarriage, an untimely birth. Here's what he was saying. Now, listen to me. I'm going to apply this to you. I wish I would not have done what I did. Had I known better, I would have never persecuted the church. Had I known the truth, I would have converted to Christ at the very early stages, and I would have been one of those apostles possibly that he could have chosen. Now, 11 apostles after Judas' death, as I said, replaced Judas. Paul could have been the 12th apostle if they would have waited, and he could have been grafted in to the, and I shouldn't say grafted, I could say chosen or elected as one of the original 12. I call Paul the 13th apostle because remember, this is interesting, there were 12 tribes of Israel, and you have Ephraim and Manasseh that come under Joseph, but then with Levi, you have 13 tribes total, and I'm talking about if you count the two sons of Joseph from Egypt, and the 13th apostle could have been Paul. Now, that's something to think about. I want you to chew on that all day long and see what you think about that. So, here's the thing. God let Paul be born because of the timing and the significance of the timing. Here's why. The Jews had the gospel. They had the covenant. The Gentiles are grafted in, but they have no leader. So in Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius is baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul is converted to the Lord, goes to Arabia 3 years, according to Galatians 1, 17 and 18, receives the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he says, Peter is the apostle to those who are circumcised, and I am the apostle to the uncircumcised. What looks like wrong may actually be what is right. It's all about the timing of the Lord. Now, here's my personal testimony that I want to give you. When I was called into the ministry at age 16 through 18, I began to study from my father's personal library. He was a pastor in Salem, Virginia. I remember reading about the great revivals. And I remember reading about the large crowd and how people loved to come to church. And when you announced revival, they packed the church out. And my granddad would say, son, if you'd have come along back in my day, I'll tell you what, with what God is doing and the way he's moving in those altar services, why people would have come from far and near to hear you preach. And honestly, granddad was trying to encourage me, but he depressed me. Not granddad, but what he was saying, because I began to feel like I have actually been born at the wrong time. And I would complain. I would look at those crowds, and T.L. Lowry was my mentor, and I'd get his books, and I'd see those big tent meetings when people wanted to go to church, when people loved to have revival, when people were not busy. Back in their day, we're talking about the day of my dad, Oral Roberts, and T.L. Lowry, and all those men. Back in those days, most of the women did not work secular jobs. They stayed at home, raised the kids, and they came to church like crazy with those kids because they didn't have to get them ready for school, ready for football, ready for basketball, ready for cheerleading. So what did people do? They went to church. And so here's what I want to tell you. I began to feel like I should have been born years ago during the healing revival, and I literally lived for a year or two almost depressed, thinking, boy, if I'd have only been born back then, I could have done something for God. I did not realize at 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, I did not realize what God had planned for me. I used to write a little magazine. I still have a magazine called Voice of Evangelism. It's a full-color magazine, comes out once every 2 months. But I used to send out a newsletter once a month, and I would do a little prophecy update, and I would say to myself, Perry Stone, this is the biggest waste of time, because who's even reading this? You got 2,000 or 3,000 people reading it. What is that? Nobody's reading these prophecy updates. I did not know. Listen to me carefully. I did not know that I would go to Israel in the 1980s, and God would put the Hebraic roots of Christianity and also prophecy in my heart after seeing prophecies fulfilled. I took slide pictures, and I began to come back in my revivals on Saturday night, and I had a huge prophecy night, which was packed out, standing room only, in almost every church I went to. I would show those slides, preach prophecy, and more people would come to the Lord after hearing prophecy on prophecy night during those revivals for many years than any other night. I suddenly began to realize that that could have an impact, but I didn't know how to reach more people. So in the late 1980s, never will forget this, a pastor from Zephyr Hills, Florida Church of God, Tom Jamies, got me, he called the television station CTN in Florida and said, you need to have Perry Stone on for a prophetic interview. So I went on a program, I believe it was called The Good Life, and may still be out there. And I was able to be interviewed, and people just went crazy because the Berlin Wall was falling and all this, and I was preaching prophecy. So then Bob DeAndre of CTN Network in Florida and had me on. He said, do you have something we can offer to the people? Come and preach prophecy. And I did some prophecy videos. Boy, these were the early days. I don't want to tell you how we did those. And they offered him on CTN, and then we got a call from Claude Bowers of Channel 55, and then we got a call from TCT and all these other networks to come on and begin to declare the prophetic word. And folks, the rest is history. This is what God knew I did not know. God knew that there would be a breakup of the Soviet Union and a fall of communism around the nations of the world. I did not know that the Jewish people were going to come back from Russia and all the nations of the world fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament. I did not know he knew about the Oslo Accords. He knew about the Gulf War. He knew about the 9/11 terrorist attacks that would change the surface of the whole world. He knew about the COVID-19, what was going to happen in a global shutdown. I did not know what God had planned. I did not know till the 1980s, the name Manifest that God gave me in the same church with the same pastor that helped get me on my very first television interview in Florida, there in Tampa, Clearwater area. God knew what I did not know. But my dad told me years later about a vision that he had. When he was a teenager, he went into heaven and he saw this beautiful large building. When he went inside, there were books and he could read the titles of the books. He said the books were not normal books. They were that wide. They were like, you know, 3 foot high or more. It took two hands to remove them. And he said there was a book called The Mighty Acts of Jesus, volumes 1 and 2 and 3. And there was a whole volume there, volumes. And there was a book that said prophecy. And he went to reach for the book that said prophecy. And when he did, God said, "That's not for you." And he put the book back up on the shelf. He chose The Mighty Acts and Words of Jesus. And in this book, when you open it, it showed every miracle. He said it was like lithographs, but they looked like pictures, that was recorded. Every miracle that Jesus did on earth, who he did it to. And he said he saw Jesus blessing the children. He saw Jesus healing people. And these stories were not in the Bible. And it was just volume after volume after volume. He said it was so wide, you couldn't hardly lift it up, but you saw every. So I've always said, wouldn't it be great to know what Jesus did? Well, apparently there's records in heaven and a massive heavenly library that will show what Jesus did. So what's interesting is, before Dad passed away, he reminded me of this dream. And he said to me, "Perry, do you realize you were the one to take the book of prophecy?" My ministry, Dad said, he's talking about himself there, was on healing. I had a compassion to pray for the sick. I had a compassion to see the gifts operate. He says, "But your gifting, your anointing, and your being chosen by the Lord in this time was to be a voice, not the voice, a voice in the realm of prophecy to teach the world about the coming of the Lord." Here's the thing. God put it in my heart to do something for him. And he put it in my heart to love prophecy and to love the history of the Middle East, the Arab people, the Jewish people, and all the people that are located in the northern horn of Africa and Israel and Lebanon and Iraq. And these are my people, the Arab Christians and the Arab Muslims. I love these people. I love the Jewish people. I love the Christian people. I just have this love for that part of the world. God knew I needed that in order to fulfill the assignment that he had for me. Now, here's what you've got to understand about you being born in this season. Every generation is going to have its battles. Sometimes it's persecution. Sometimes it's persecution unto death. Sometimes it's individual battles with alcohol and drugs that people have to get free from. Sometimes they battle depression. My grandparents, great-grandparents battled, and grandparents went through the Great Depression. 7 years, it was almost like a tribulation. There's an addictive generation. There are generations of young people that are so depressed right now, they're quitting and they're giving up. So number one, every generation has its battles. And this generation that you're living in, even though you were born for such a time as this, you will have battles that this generation will deal with. Secondly, every generation gets knocked down and has to get back up. Samson was knocked down, but he got back up. David was knocked down, he got back up. Noah got knocked down. He started drinking, got drunk after the ark, and one of his grandsons became cursed because of some things that happened. But he still had to get back up, and he's called a righteous man later in the book of Hebrews. Peter had to repent after denying the Lord, and he had to get back up. So you need to understand something. There's going to be times, even though that you were born to live at such a time as in history as this, there's going to be times that you are going to absolutely have to get back up and take the quit option off the table. Number three, it is God that positions you at the right place at the right time. Esther was positioned to eventually save the Jews in those 127 provinces. You can read that in the book of Esther. Joseph was sold as a slave, accused of adultery, ended up in prison for many years, but he did not fail in what God called him to do. He ended up saving his entire family, and the history of the nation of Israel can be connected to him as far as their salvation. Daniel was taken into captivity in Babylon. How bad can it get? But he ends up, in the many years he lives there, because he died probably in his 90s, but he ends up becoming the second in command under the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and then gets favor with the Persian Empire when they take over. Your purpose may be just for one person that you're going to alter their life. It may be to help raise your children and grandchildren in the things of God. It may be to participate in a local church. It may be to impact a nation. It may be to head up a prayer group. It may be to head up a witnessing group. You have a reason that God allowed you to be born. And let me tell you this, God will give you a certain grace to live through the natural disasters, the fulfillment of prophecy. If you couldn't take it, you would not have been born for such a time as this. See, Hezekiah was dying. The Babylonians came and brought him presents. She showed him all the secrets of the house of God. Isaiah said, "You've made a mistake. The Babylonians will eventually invade this area and carry everything back to Babylon from Israel, including the sacred vessels." Jeremiah said they'd be in 70 years of captivity. It was 140 years before it actually happened. And yet, 140 years before the first prophecy is given about the invasion of the Babylonians, Isaiah, 140 years before, says this, "Thus saith of Cyrus, he's my shepherd. He shall perform all my pleasures, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid." How do you figure this out? 140 years, 40 years before the Babylonian captivity and Jerusalem is destroyed, God names a man Cyrus that's going to be born to restore Jerusalem. That's what I'm talking about. God has foreknowledge. God has a plan. When my daughter was born, she was born when Pam and I were, Pam was 40 and I was 42 years of age. I thought, wow, we've waited a long time to have a baby girl. But you know why she was born in this season? She's ministering to this generation. She has a testimony of bondage to pornography as a child and God delivering her that people are hearing that's helping set people free. She was born for such a time as this. My son loves technology. He's helping Ramp run the technology. Born for such a time as this. You were born for such a time as this, and don't you ever forget it. I'm coming back in a moment with something special, so stay tuned. I've got some great things to tell you in a moment.
This is Perry Stone. I am so excited to be able to present to you and your family two of the most exciting audio teachings that I have done in many years. Will Jesus Return by 2033? And the special teaching, The Soon Closing Out of the Church Age. Now, I want to talk for a moment and tell you that I'm not predicting the return of Christ in 2033, but I am saying to you that it is the most pivotal transitional date that we have encountered in our lifetime and in modern history. And I'm going to show you why that 2033 is the most important prophetic date in the prophetic cycle. And we're going to talk about God's calendar and God's timing and the events surrounding where we are going in the distant future. I also want to present to you a very special teaching, The Soon Closing Out of the Church Age. The church age is also known as the dispensation of the grace of God, and it will eventually come to a conclusion, Christ's return. Then the wrath of God is going to be globally released in what is called the Great Tribulation. Now, on this two audio CD series, you will discover details on how, why, and when this major prophetic transition will occur. Man, this is a very powerful message. It is filled with fascinating new insight, and it provides keys to understanding soon coming events. Now, you can now get both of these audio CD messages. There are four CDs, 4 hours of teaching for your love gift of $30 or more. We really need your help to keep Manifest on the air. The way that you order this special teaching is by going to perrystone.org and ordering online, or call 1-888-21-BREAD toll-free and order that way. Or you can also write me at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Now, when you call or write, you have to request offer number PR-138, and it is the special brand new prophecy updates. We're hoping to hear from you, and we just pray that God will continue to bless you.
Make plans to attend the 2023 International Prophetic Summit, April 27th through 30th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Come hear the latest prophecy updates from Jonathan Kahn, Lance Wallnau, Jimmy Evans, Mark Biltz, Bill Cloud, and Perry Stone. There is no fee to attend, but you must register online at perrystone.org, where you will also find information on hotels in the area. Seating is limited, so sign up today. Don't miss fresh insights and exciting new prophetic revelation at the 2023 International Prophetic Summit. Register now.
As far as we know, this will be the last opportunity you'll have to get the two audio CD albums that we've been making available through the Manifest Telecast for the past several weeks, because next week, now this is the Lord willing, because we tape these in advance, of course, because of the television stations, but next week will be the release of what I've been telling you about for, I guess, a year and a half now, maybe 2 years. The secret project is about to be released. And right off of camera, right over here, I have some things that I'm going to be showing you at the end of the closings for the next several weeks. And I hope you'll be a part of that. And we'll wait till next week to talk about that. Bill Cloud and I, as you know, we have a great prophetic summit in the month of April with six major speakers with all new messages. Bill Cloud and I were impressed to do something. In the month of March, and this will be March 16th and 17th, that's a Thursday and Friday, I'm going to do two messages. Bill's going to do two messages. We're going to have a question and answer session, but we're going to do this on demand. It's $20 a charge to watch it, and that's because we have to bring in a whole team and pay a whole team to help us with this. But I want you to listen to me for a moment. There are things that we want to share with you that if we shared it on a regular social media, secular and not our own. We have our own Perry Stone Ministries place that you can go to. We have the computers. We have all of that here on campus. So if we try to do it openly, they would just ban it. They would just click it off, remove it because of the certain phrases we're going to have to use and certain things we have to say. So this is going to be some things we would never share publicly at a summit. Because the summit messages I preach, there's excerpts aired on TV, and we have to go through and edit all that. So this is unedited as is, but it's only going to be on demand. So in other words, if you want to watch this special event that Bill and I are doing, go to perrystone.org and register for it. And then again, it's going to be March 16th and 17th. Now, the information will be available there. On March the 26th, I'm preaching a special message at the International School of the Word ISO building at 3:00 on Sunday afternoon. I'm not sure what it's going to be about yet, but I can guarantee you it's going to be something that is right now. And we're going to have altar services ministering to people March 26th, April the 7th. And I believe that's a Friday. I'm coming to Boaz, Alabama. I haven't been there in years, to Free Life Worship Center. And I want you to come and be a part of that special service. And of course, as you know, April will be the time of our prophetic summit. Now, by the time you watch this, our prophetic summit registration is just about full, but we do put people on standby or on a waiting list because we always have cancellations and we can get other people in. But please be sure, get your rooms booked for that and plan on being with us. So there again, last opportunity to get the material we've been offering. Next week, the Lord willing, and there's a reason we have to say Lord willing, because something's got to be done before we can present this to you. And we're going to present the secret project, and it's different. Some of you are going to immediately laugh and say, Perry Stone, you did what? In fact, I said to myself, Perry Stone, you did what? So anyway, you're going to enjoy this. So be watching next week for the release of this. I'll see you then.